Hello, everybody. Good evening to you all. Wonderful to be in North Down for the first Taste and See on the Road. Commendation to the Taste and See team on having the vision to branch out and launch out into the deep a little bit. And thank you for coming, especially in the circumstances of the weather at the moment. Well done for coming. Some of you have come quite far to be here with us. So thank you for joining us, and do come again on Sunday night. We'd love to see you. We're hoping for a good number as well. And do bring people if you can who need a touch from God. I'm David Legg, by the way, originally from not too far away from here, East Belfast, and live in Portadown now. Do you know where that is? And by the way, Loch Brickland's not that far away. So you go towards Sprucefield and you don't fall off the edge of the earth. And then you take the A1 to Newry, Dublin, but before very far, past Lisburn and Dromore, you hit Loch Brickland. And I don't know, how long is it from here? Anybody?
About an hour.
About an hour. It's not that much. You know? So why not try it sometime? You know, and they have all the nice tea and buns that you have here tonight. So, but it's a very special place. God has been doing stuff there. And it's been my honour just to share a little bit of that month on month. So thank you for coming here tonight. Let's pray. And then I just want us to look at one verse of scripture and a few thoughts on that. And I'm hoping and trusting God shows up. Because if he doesn't, I'm sunk. And that's the honest truth. I need him. And you need him. And so let's ask him to come and meet with us now in his own way. Lord, we want to thank you for the songs we've been singing, and we want to thank you that you're here. Whether we feel like it or not, we just want to acknowledge that you're here. We pray that you will come very near to each one in their consciousness, that they would become aware that you're right at their elbow. In fact, you're even in their mouth if they confess you as Lord. I just pray that all of us would know the rule and reign of the Lordship of Christ in our lives in completeness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. That you just come, Lord, and meet with us. I mean, it sounds so ridiculous for us to even say this to you, but you are a person. You are a person. One God, three persons, in fact. But Lord, we're people. You're a person. And that's when things happen, when people meet together. And we want to meet with you. We want to meet with you. We don't want to hear about you. We want to meet with you as a real person. So come, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. We're desperate for you. We sang it, Lord. We're lost without you. We want you to be the air that we breathe. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, one verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. You don't have to look at it if you don't have a Bible. It's very hard to see. Jesus is talking about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." It's just this phrase, pray to your Father who is unseen. Pray to your Father who is unseen. And so I want to talk to you about seeking the unseen. Do you know that God is unseen? Did you know that? He is invisible. In his essence, he is invisible. He is a spirit. Now, of course, if you're a Christian or you know the gospel of Jesus, you will know that at Christmas we celebrate what's called the incarnation, which simply means the enfleshing of God. So God became a human being in Jesus Christ, his son. So we have a God who looks like Jesus. Okay, so if you want to know what God is like, you just look at Jesus, because he's a perfect manifestation and representation of the God himself, because he is God, God's Son, come in human flesh. But he's not around today, in case you haven't noticed. He went back to heaven in bodily form, and then he sent the Holy Spirit. So God is around, but he is unseen. He is invisible. Now, this causes a bit of a problem for us, because this means that often his ways and his kingdom are hidden. They're not always obvious. The ways of God and the kingdom of God can be inconspicuous. They can be hard to find at times. And so this is what can be a stumbling block and an obstacle to people coming to faith, or even those who have some kind of Christian background, they start to stumble and fall because just God doesn't seem to be immediately available to them. But you see, this is why you have to search. You have to seek God. You might say, well, that's rotten. I mean, why do you have to? Why doesn't he just show up? Well, there's a reason for this. And we'll touch on it in a moment or two, perhaps. But this is just the way it is. And I mean, you don't get to set the terms. Just realize that. And I'm not trying to offend you. But you know, he's God. You're not. This is the way it works. The Bible says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And there's a reason for that. But we are so attuned to the material world that this can become a real blockage. And what I mean by that is we're even educated in school, you know, in materialist terms, which means empirical evidence in front of you is what you're meant to consider to be real. So if you can't use your five senses to objectify things, then it's not a fact. So if you can't see it, if you can't hear it, if you can't taste it, if you can't smell it, you can't touch it, it's not real. Now that's not entirely true, of course. We're not entirely educated that way. But yet, in measure, that's what we effectively become. And even Christians have the unseen realm. I believe children actually have an inherent ability to understand the unseen realm, but it's educated out of them by a materialist Western mindset. And the rest of the world actually doesn't subscribe to this, interestingly. It's mainly the Western hemisphere. But what I'm trying to tell you is this physical and sensual realm can become a huge distraction from God, because everything's so available and immediate. An instant. And we now are living, without going on a rant, we are living in an overtly uber-sensualized era of human history. And we are overstimulated. And because of that, our senses are on overdrive. And we're actually experiencing burnout in the sensual element of our physicality, but we're addicted to it to such an extent that we don't know. I mean, it was Pascal the scientist. Who's ever heard of Pascal? He was a scientist hundreds of years ago, and he's also a Christian, and he said that most of the problems in the world are derived from the inability of people to sit in a room in quietness. Think about that. And so let's be honest with ourselves here tonight. There's a lot of things available to us that hinder us seeking and searching for the unseen, because there's so much in front of us. And that's one of the reasons why we do not know God. And I'm here to ask you a very simple question. Do you want to know God? If you want to know God, you must engage with the unseen. And the way you engage with the unseen is by a thing called faith. That's where you start to see the realm of the invisible, and you apprehend the one who is invisible. You see, not only do you have eyes in your head and ears in your head, but you've, Paul says, eyes in your heart and ears in your heart. Lots of us don't realize that you've got a mind of your head and a mind of your heart. And Paul actually prayed in Ephesians that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened and opened to see the invisible realm. And one of the ways we actually do that, and another derivative of faith, is imagination. Now, we really stumble at this because we think imagination is a thing of fantasy. But I'm not speaking of it in that sense. I'm talking about the ability for you in your heart to apprehend. The reason why we need to apprehend God through the eyes and the imagination of our heart is he's so transcendent. He's so above and beyond everything physical that our eyes and ears and nose and touch and taste is not enough to grasp him. We actually need our hearts, our souls, to grip him. And so that's why Isaiah 26 verse 3, some of you might know it as, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. In the Revised Version, in the margin of the Revised Version, says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose imagination is stayed on him. Don't be frightened of your imagination. As long as you're not, you know, into kooky stuff like magic or New Age where you're trying to conjure up things that don't exist. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about bringing the mind of your heart into line with the objective real. And the most real thing there is in the whole universe is God Almighty. And you are permitted to use the faculty of the mind of your heart and your imagination to dream up what God says is true and real. Well, that excites me. Is that what you do with your imagination? What do you do with your imagination? I know what some of you do. Some of you catastrophize. And you think of all the things that can go wrong. Yep. Others of you fantasize. Maybe you dream up in an escapism way to get out of your mundane humdrum life. Some of you maybe fantasize sexually for simulation in some way. And because we live in this highly visualized age, this just comes naturally to us. But can I tell you, there is an unseen realm that trumps everything else that is available in this world through technology and the supernatural realm that is not of God. But you have to seek. It doesn't come naturally. You have to look for it. I had an experience this morning where I don't always get up really early, but I did this morning. Not for any reason, only I couldn't sleep. Don't want you to think I'm really holy. Hate when people do that. You know, I get up at 4 a.m, they say, and I read the Bible for 10 hours, and then I hate that. I don't know whether you hate that, but I really hate that. So don't do that. If that's you, don't stop doing that. I probably did it once, but don't do it. But anyway, I got up early this morning because I couldn't sleep. I went downstairs because the stove had been on the night before, so the room was warm. I don't usually go into the sunroom. And I went in and I lit a candle. And I don't always light a candle when I pray, but sometimes I do, just for focus and ambiance. But I was sitting there and I noticed, because I opened the blinds to see the sunrise, I noticed the reflection of the flame and the candle in the windows of the sunroom. I felt as if I was asked the question, not audibly or anything like that, but I felt I heard in my imagination, in my mind, the question, how many candles do you see? And I thought, that's interesting, because I actually see there was about 4 candles, including the real one. There were 3 reflections, maybe nearly 4, one very faint one, but the other 3 were very, very, you know, what would you say, what's the word? Vivid. That's the word. Thank you very much. Vivid. It was like a candle was there, but it wasn't. And it was just the reflection. And I thought, Lord, what are you wanting me to think about here? And I am very often, in default setting, negative. I don't know whether that's you, but I think a lot of us can be. So I usually think God is trying to tick me off here with something. And I felt the Lord was saying, maybe you're seeing a whole lot of things that aren't real. And you need to focus on what's real. But very quickly after thinking that, I felt the Lord revise that thought and say, no. I want you to understand that though there is one candle here, these other reflections are equally as real. They're not the same as the candle, but they're real in their own right because the light that is coming off that candle is creating that image. And it actually is derived from the candle and from the flame. And it's a reality in its own right, though it's different. See? And I felt the Lord was saying to me, I want you to focus in on the beams of light that shine from me around you in the universe and in the world that you have, both in nature. I mean, that is just mind-blowing in and of itself. And also in supernature, in my kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom and an unseen kingdom. That encouraged me. And it kind of led me to think of sharing this with you tonight. Go into your room, shut your door, and speak to your Father who is unseen. How much of your perception is oriented to the unseen? Now, I'm not talking about weirdos and wackos running around seeing demons everywhere and angels flying everywhere. Now, people do see demons and people do see angels, but some people get carried away with an obsession with that. And I'm not saying it's not real. It is real. But what I'm not talking about that primarily, though that is real. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about seeing the objective real. The Almighty. From a boy, I have believed that God can be known as a person. But many of the circles that we are brought up in, we learn about God, but we don't learn to know God. I remember years ago, a man who probably didn't realize the implications of what he did. He gave me a book by a man called A.W. Tozer, and it was called The Pursuit of God. And that book, I highly recommend it. It's a classic. It fanned the flames that were already ignited within my heart of a pursuit of the Almighty. But listen to a quote from A.W. Tozer here, if I can get the font up. It is not mere words that nourish the soul, but God's very being. And unless and until the hearers find God in personal experience, they are not the better for having heard the truth. You hear that? Unless the hearers find God in personal experience, they are not the better for having heard the truth. The Bible is not an end in itself. But it is a means to bring people to an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God, that they may enter into Him, that they may delight in His presence, that they may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God in the core and center of their hearts. Do you know that? I'm not asking you, are you a Christian? Okay? I'm not asking you an atheist. I kind of don't really care at this very moment. What I care is, do you have a desire in your heart to know God in a real way? A real way. I studied theology and I've been through church my whole life and I know my Bible pretty well. But that can leave my soul empty. Understand what I'm saying. The Bible is very important. Theology is very important. But God did not call us to know about Him. He called us to know Him. In an intimate, deep knowledge that is inexplicable. Theology and doctrine are important, but they don't satisfy completely. And you know, I'm sorry, but Some of our church circles are biblically illiterate, which is not a good thing. They don't know their Bible. And then there are some groups that know their Bible really well, but they're walking around like peacocks because they think that's what it's all about. There's so much I could say. But this is what I want. I don't want really, I do want to know my Bible better. Of course I do. But what I want more than anything is I want to know God more. I want to be held by Him. And I want to behold Him. I want to believe Him. I want to realize what it is to be beloved. Do you know what beloved means? Be loved. Isn't it strange that we miss even that with that word? It means to be loved. And guess what the common denominator in all those words that I've just mentioned is? Be. To be. Or not to be. That is the question. And to be is to be in the great I am. The verb to be. I am. That I am. In the name of God, I am. Whatever you need. That's what you need. That's what you need tonight. And the presence of God is what I long for you. What I long for this gathering tonight. To experience what it is to know that God is with you. That God is for you. That God came down in Emmanuel to die for you. And to enter into all the brokenness that sin has brought. And let's face it. The thing that takes up the space in our center where God's presence is meant to be is sin. That is the idols of our brokenness. But when we come to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've attached my soul to that thing other than you. He deals with it. And then he comes rushing suddenly into our hearts. And listen, I don't know what you're seeking tonight. Maybe it's an experience. God does give experiences, but that's not synonymous with the presence of God. And I believe in experiences, but that is not synonymous. God is there, even when you're not having good experiences. He is still there. God is there when you're depressed. God is there when you're suicidal. God is there when you're sick. God is there when you're rejected. God is there when you're discouraged. But what is it you're looking for? Some of you, most of you, are looking for the scene. You're looking for the material. Even in your Christian experience, you're looking for the sensual. You know? Rather than by faith, which is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. That is how you apprehend God. And you know, that sounds complicated, but it's very easy. You know, this is what, it kind of staggers me, how the Christian life is so complex, but at the self-same time, so simple. And that's why Jesus said, except you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And children's imaginations are wonderful, and they just take things as they're told. And we're not talking about being gullible. If you're a thinker, if you reason things, that God bless you. We're to love God with all our minds. We're not saying check your mind at the door and come in and just fall for everything. That's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is this, and this is staggering to some people. You cannot apprehend God in your mind. You can know about him, but you can only apprehend him through your heart. And the good news is, you don't need to bring him down from heaven, or you don't need to bring him up from below. He's already here. And he's with you. He's right there. Trouble is, you're not looking for him in the right way. You know what you need to do tonight? It's very, very simple. Just say, okay, you're there. Okay. No matter what I feel, no matter what I'm thinking, no matter what my experience is, you're there. Okay, I'm going to talk to you. Let me finish with this story. There's a guy called Anthony DeMello, and he tells the tale of the little fish. And the little fish is speaking to an older fish about the whereabouts of the ocean. Imagine it. Little fish talking to the big fish about where the ocean is. "Excuse me," said an ocean fish. "You are older than I, so can you tell me where to find this big thing they call the ocean?" "The ocean?" said the older fish. "Oh, the ocean," said the older fish, "is the thing you're in. This is not the ocean. This is water. What I am seeking is the ocean." And the little fish swam away to search elsewhere and didn't realize that the thing that he was looking for, he was in it. He was in it. But he was looking for something completely different when he was in it. Now I'm going to pray a prayer for you right now. Because I'm telling you now, you're in it. You're in the presence of God right now. In this world, if you could, and I'm talking to people who are Christians and not Christians, I'm not differentiating with that right now. I'm talking to you all, okay? If God was to open the eyes of your heart right now, you would see God everywhere. Because he is. He's everywhere. From the smallest cell to the greatest galaxy. Yeah. And I'm praying for you tonight that you will have the experience of what it's like for a virgin scuba diver going down into a coral reef, and they discover beneath the surface another world. Another kingdom. I'm praying for you tonight that God will give you his telescope to look into the vast, unending sphere of his realm. And I don't know what your lot is tonight. You're sitting, you're in an off job, and life's wick, you feel, and there's no prospects, and what's it all about, and why am I here? Blah, 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 blah. Listen, listen. This is the most exciting thing in all existence. That you are a soul made in the image of God. And God loves you. And here's the rub. I hinted at it earlier. Why does God want us to search and seek for the unseen? Because he is a God of love and he wants to be wanted. Now he's not petty and needy in that sense. That's not what I mean. But he doesn't force himself on anyone. He wants you to seek for him. But this is the amazing thing. That if you just reach out in your mind and your heart to him, he will run to you. And I'm going to pray for you. And as I pray for you, I'm going to ask you that you will in your heart do that. That you'll just reach out and you'll say, "Lord, I want you. I want you as my Father. I want you to reveal your love to me. I need to know that there's more than this. I need to know that there's more than this. Let me tell you, there's more than this. Guys, there's more than Sunday go to meeting Christianity. And I'm not despising going to church on Sunday at all. I do that. I'm just saying, there's got to be more than a lot of that stuff. And I'm telling you, there is. And there's a lot more than Ulster Christianity, I can tell you. Thank God for that. There's a lot more. There's a whole kingdom of God out there. And it's in this room. It's in this room. So let's pray. Now let's just still ourselves. That's another one. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Oh, what a word. Be still. And know that I am God. Father, I thank you that Jesus showed us what you're like. And the apostle could say, we saw him with our eyes. We touched him with our hands. We handled the word of life. But Lord, we were not there. And we do accept their word to us. But Lord, we need our own personal experience of God. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would open the eyes of hearts, the ears of hearts to see and hear you, that you will touch people here in this place tonight who need a touch from you. I pray, Lord, this is called Taste and See. I pray folk will taste and see that you are good. Oh, Lord, you're good. Thank you for drawing near tonight. And I pray that you'll do a deep, deep work in people's hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.